Okay, well, maybe I can start out. My name is Isaac Smith. I've known Jonathan for, I don't know, John, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I got introduced to Conklin in 2013. Signed up, took the training in December of 2013, and tried a lot of different things. I didn't really have the best support group. And so I was just, trying it all on my own, made a lot of mistakes, didn't really have a lot of success, until I found out about what Jonathan was doing with Choice Roof Contractor Group. And then, the rest is history. I just decided, okay, this is what I'm doing because of just the support in the group and the networking. I knew that that would be, way more successful than what I was doing before that.
Awesome. So, why don't you share maybe some of the struggles that you had initially and what it was like, not having the support that you needed and maybe some of the ways that you overcame those issues by yourself?
Going out there, world, the big world, and there's a lot of different ways of doing things. And so, literally, I had no support. Nobody in my upline was, able to help me at all with the Conklin roofing system. I had people in other networks that were, willing to help me, but I had to reach out to them, and I didn't really have anybody that was really interested in my well-being as a business. So I essentially, I just did a lot on my own. I spent a lot of money on marketing, just, doing the wrong thing. Spent money on internet marketing and mailers that weren't too successful. I spent money on direct phone calls from a fellow out in Massachusetts. That didn't work out too well. And so I just knew that, well, I actually wanted to do largely almost identical to what Jonathan is doing now. And I heard about what he's doing through Phil. And then I just decided, okay, why reinvent the wheel when it's already rolling? And decided to, get on board with Jonathan with Choice Roof Contractor Group. And it's been really fun just working with Jonathan, sharing ideas. It's amazing. Jonathan's always willing to take my phone call, no matter what obstacle I have. He'll always answer. And, it's just nice knowing that there's a big group of contractors that have a lot of experience, that will, help me overcome any kind of problem or issue that I'm facing in the field, bidding a project or, what technique to use to cold call. So that's just, it's been really, really nice.
Awesome. Well, we've got about 1 minute to go. Thanks for sharing all of that, Isaac. I really appreciate it. And I'm definitely excited about this call because it really starts, as far as being successful in business, it all starts with having the right mindset. And when you have the right mindset, you make the right decisions and you continue on even when, it's just kind of like the stock market, it goes down a little bit for a season. And if you, focus on that little drop, for that week or even month or even year. But you lose focus of the big picture of, 20, 30 years down the road. You lose. And the whole, focus of this call, actually, Isaac, he contacted me about a week and a half ago, and he really wanted to share this stuff with you guys. I'm going to turn on and off, or let me just turn off the exit chimes here, so as other people join, over the next, 20, 30 minutes, we don't get interrupted.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
All right, so we're right here at 8 o'clock. So, Isaac, why don't you go ahead and kick off the call, and we'll definitely, open up for whatever thoughts anybody else on the call would like to share.
Okay, sounds good. All right, hello, everybody. Good evening. This is Isaac Smith here in Greenville, Ohio. Good to see everybody this evening. I'm sure everyone's enjoying the pleasant weather we have. We're actually getting a nice little rain shower over here. And so I'm loving this winter, this mild winter weather. I'm a northern boy. I do like cold weather, but I'm enjoying this mild weather this year. So anyway, Jonathan mentioned a couple minutes ago, I brought this call up to him like a week and a half ago. I said, all of us, are in this thing together. I know all of us have, mental obstacles that we face, and sometimes, it gets very confusing to know how to overcome those. And I just asked him, Jonathan, would someone be interested in hosting a call like that? And he said, well, would you? I said, sure, if nobody else does. So here we are. Wanted to talk about that this evening. And I'm sure, I don't know how many people are on the call this evening, but I'm sure that everybody has faced, mental obstacles, fears, and doubts in the past, and maybe even right now. And so I just wanted to talk about that this evening to try to kind of get something rolling inside of the group, how we can help each other overcome those obstacles and help each other really achieve the goals, that we have in mind. Because fears and doubts, they're a human thing. And I personally, in the past, have struggled a lot with depression and, a lot of self-hatred, a lot of that kind of thing. And those kind of things can be very, very powerful. If you're convinced in your mind that you are an ignorant person or incapable or stupid, that can become so real that you actually become that in your mind. And I've experienced that in the past. And so that's a lot of what really motivated me to host this call, is because I know that there's other people out there that probably are facing those same kind of fears and doubts. And so I just want to do what I could to, help people work through those, know that there's support in the group. That's what's been really exciting to me. John, we've got a lot of background noise from somebody. Not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm going to mute that line. There you go.
Great. That sounds a lot better. So that's what's really been exciting to me, being part of this group. Just I've really, really felt a lot of very real support from Jonathan and even from Sam, just a real willingness to help me work through whatever obstacles I face. And that to me is very, it helped me relax and it helped strengthen my mind just to know, okay, these people, Jonathan and Sam, they're not going to shoot me in the head just because I got a problem or just because I made a mistake. If I'm willing enough to call them up and say, look, here's what I'm facing. What should I do now? Here's a mistake I made. They'll just walk me through it. So I'm convinced that fear and doubt is definitely the highest cause for people to not achieve the goals they have in their mind, is because they've become convinced in their mind that they're incapable or they're afraid of, putting themselves out there, to overcome those fearful things. We wrote down a note here earlier. Having a fear or having a mental obstacle, as long as it remains a mental obstacle, is really a problem. But if we can talk with Jonathan or talk with Sam and say, hey, you know, I've got this mental problem. I've got this obstacle that I, you know, when I go out and cold call, I have this problem or whatever. They can help us create habits to overcome those mental obstacles, and then we've actually got a strength. And that's really exciting to me. You know, just what kind of obstacles we can overcome. And, you know, that's really exciting. Is there anybody on the line that, you know, has a question or has a specific obstacle that they're facing that they would like the group to help them with?
Hello?
Hello?
Yep.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hear you?
Oh, yeah. Hi, this
yep.
is Renee Seamrace, Sunrise Florida. Yeah, I'm I'm starting to get a lot of commercial leads. And some of the issues is like putting together a good presentation package and presenting it, like, you know, in the form of a proposal and presenting it like to the association or the condo president or the association or the board or whatever, the type of management. So if anybody can share some tips or ideas of what is it that they're doing and, you know, what are the typical objections the customer may come up with and how they overcome it, that would be great.
Jonathan, you have anything to say to that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't provide personal experience, but I definitely helped a lot of people land jobs by using the information I've learned from people like Willie Schrock, been in the business for a very long time, and have shared that information with me and some of the others in our group. You know, as long as it takes for us to fully understand, you know, how these systems are applied and to really take care of the issues, not just, you know, long enough to keep them happy, as most contractors would focus on, but, you know, really looking at the long term, how can we make this last, you know, for years and years and years. And the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that these building owners, they don't really know anything about roofing. You know, they've got good common sense or they wouldn't be successful, but they're really looking at you as the expert, but they also need to have that peace of mind that you know what you're talking about. So when you do your proposals, it makes a massive difference if you show them pictures of exactly what's going on with their roof. You can show them what you've done in the past to solve an issue similar to theirs. And one of the cool things about the group, if you haven't dealt with that specific problem before, you can reach out to us, and we'll find someone in the group that has dealt with that issue. They have pictures. We can send them to you, and then you can explain how, you know, you're part of this bigger picture where if you ever have anything that you're not entirely sure about, that's okay. You don't have to guess. And, you know, these building owners, they're used to talking to contractors that we'll just say oversell themselves, but, you know, the truth is they're lying that, you know, they've dealt with that exact condition. They know exactly what to do, you know, sign this contract and we'll take care of it. Well, by being part of a group of contractors where there actually is someone that, you know, can handle any issue, that's a huge value, not just to you, but to tell the business owner that. And, you know, giving them that confidence, you know, especially if you're a smaller commercial roofing company, you know, that's what they're really looking for. It's all about peace of mind. So if you can show them a proposal of exactly what their issues are, what you're going to do to address them, and give them some sort of, you know, security in knowing that this is actually going to take care of the problem, then you're going to get that job. And the price is not going to be as much the issue. I'd be more than happy to send over a proposal from Willie Schrock himself that would show you know, what he's done in the past, you know, how he outlines the steps. But the biggest thing to keep in mind is that, you know, these building owners, they don't really know anything about roofing. So if you come across as the most knowledgeable and you educate them in a way that makes sense, they'll want to work with you.
Okay,
Hey, Jonathan, this is Max with from Massachusetts here. Just to add to your point, to answer and reiterate that question is, you know, what you want to do is in your market, you want to know what your competition is doing and not doing and what your client is expecting. If you're going to go and present to the board of directors of a condominium association, it's going to be different versus if you go and present to a farmer that has, you know, a metal building. So you kind of need to set the standards and the table depending on what you're going to. So the way that I usually approach my presentations is, you know, I have kind of a semi-informal one for more of a layman's term that is kind of gets down to earth. It's still the same presentation, still has the same pictures, still has the same, you know, proposal. And then if I do go in front of, you know, a large client, like a large chain store or a condominium association, usually I'll, you know, right there I'll put some more pamphlets about, you know, my company, make sure that our logos are all the same, make sure we're using the same printed envelopes, and make the presentation overall the same all throughout. So it really depends. You want to kind of study your market, see what your competition is not doing, and then based on that, you can then develop your own tools and how you present yourself different than the competition. Because that's really what it's all about. Any large condominium association or large business owner is going to get 2 to 3 estimates. And, you know, if one guy hands them a handwritten thing that says estimate on it, and then you come in with, you know, some nice folders, some nice packets, you most likely have a higher probability of closing that one. So that's what I would add.
Awesome. And I'm actually just going to expand a little bit more on what I said as well. You know, it's good to communicate the benefits. You know, the proposal is also part of the marketing / sales process. It's not the most critical because this is the decision-making point. You know, just to focus on what you're going to do, and I would highly recommend being detailed. I'm just looking through here on Willie's proposal, and you know, instead of saying, you know, he's going to pressure wash the roof, he has extremely powerful rust and film removal. You know, get very specific about what you're doing and what the benefit is, and then, like, if you're doing a coating, you know, talk about the benefits of reflecting the sun's heat, you know, by having a white, energy-efficient surface, and, you know, the renewable aspects that coatings provide that you can't get from conventional roof systems. You know, remind them of why they need to work with your company. You know, have a good, you know, intro that reminds them, you know, what sets you apart. If you have all that on paper, you know, they might not remember everything that they told you. And if it's going to a board, you know, they might not know anything that you said if it's not on that proposal.
Thank you, Jonathan and Max, for sharing that. Just listening to y'all, I was just thinking about, you know, what the original goal was for our call here. And, you know, just listening to y'all talking about, you know, how you're dealing with those different issues. Max, sounds like you have a lot of experience. Seems like you're very well versed in the roofing industry. And obviously, Jonathan is all into it. And so, as any caller can hear, there is the experience. You know, if you want to get where Max is, he's just a phone call away. Somebody like that is in the group. You know, I think something that a lot of us, a very human habit, is when we get into a problem or we get into, you know, trouble with fears and doubts, we tend to call somebody that's kind of stuck in our own problem, and that'll never get us out of our problem. And so something I've learned to do, you know, when I get in, stuck in a problem, is call somebody like Jonathan or Max or Sam that's been through it and they're on the other side. They will have the answers for the problem I'm facing. And so that's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to what I can do. You know, the potential that I have in me and the potential that's in the group, I think together, and that's in the rest of the callers that are on the call tonight, we can really achieve some amazing goals together in this.
Well, Isaac, you mentioned something earlier that I thought was really good. And I know I'm not going to quote it exactly, but if you want to just expand and take it from here. But you said that weaknesses and mental obstacles aren't really a problem and that they can become strengths by creating habits that automatically overcome those obstacles. If you just kind of want to talk a little bit about that, you know, actually going through the process, you know, reaching out to others can definitely help you get over that initial hump. If nothing else, just getting the confidence that if you don't know, there's someone else that does, and believing in them. But, you know, as far as going through the process, maybe you can just talk a little bit about what happens beyond, you know, the point of reaching out for help and doing something rather than kind of scaling back.
Mm-hmm. So overcoming mental obstacles, I'm just talking about myself. Like I said in the past, I was the kind of person, you know, that was, you know, very depressed, a lot of self-hatred, you know. In my mind, I was the stupidest creature that ever lived, you know. I would never, ever be a success. And that's very, very real. If anybody's ever experienced that, they know what it is. It's very, very real. It's very scary. It's very frightening to think that. Looking at people, your interactions, you read into people, the way people talk to you, the way people treat you, you know, you read their behavior, their interaction with you as, see, they think I'm stupid. And so recently, I'm pretty excited about this. I decided, okay, I'm going to start doing things. There's something I read, the book called Four Disciplines of Execution. And in there, it talks a lot about doing, he talks about lead measures and lag measures. Basically, a lag measure is something that you did yesterday. You made X amount of dollars yesterday. That's a lag measure. And a lead measure would be something that you're doing right now. Like, say, for instance, I'm going to make 10 cold calls today. That is a lead measure. So, taking that knowledge, I decided, okay, I'm going to start doing some things for myself. I started working out every single day. I started jogging every single day. And I kept track of this, how many minutes, how many reps, all that. And I just do it every day. And it's amazing the confidence, just even, say, for instance, I'm working out, feeling, and I have these weird feelings in my head, like, you know, I'm dumb or all this kind of stuff. But I keep working out anyway. Well, as I keep doing these things every day, my confidence goes up, believe it or not. And I look at my calendar, my tracking system. Hey, I've done 100 push-ups every day for the last 20 days. Well, that's pretty awesome, you know. So that's one way we can create habits that'll boost confidence. You know, track what you do. You know, just say, for instance, make 5 phone calls every single day and track it and show it on your calendar, you know. And as you do that over a time period, you look back like, boy, I'm a man. I've done it for 30 days straight. And that will give you two things. It'll create a habit, because every day you're going to want to make those 5 phone calls so you can add it to that list. You got 31 days of making 5 phone calls or whatever, you know. And so over time of doing that, you'll create habits that will basically run on autopilot and will tremendously boost your confidence and your productivity. Because the fact is, if you, you know, do things like that, just like my working out and my jogging, I mean, I'm amazed how much muscle mass I've built, you know, and that wasn't even really my goal. But I was like, ooh, this is pretty nice. And so that'll happen, you know, in our business too. If we do things every day, I've read a book. David Sandler was a powerful salesman back in the 80s and the 90s, and he was an introvert. An introvert is a person that does not naturally start a conversation, doesn't naturally want to be with people. So he created this habit, this rule for himself. He called it the 3-foot rule. And the 3-foot rule is if he ever got within 3 feet to a person, he made himself stop and talk to the person and ask the person how he's doing, and then he would ask the person what business he's in, you know, and how he makes his living. And through his, you know, 20-year career, 30-year career of selling, that habit of whenever he got within 3 feet of a person made him millions of dollars. You know, and after doing that for 6 months, it was on autopilot. Whenever he got within 3 feet of a person, you know, he just had this habit of talking to him. And so that's kind of a couple of examples how we can create habits that, you know, will automatically overcome the weakness that, you know, that we're facing. Are there any examples of things that you've done like that, Jonathan?
Sorry about that. I put myself on mute. What was the question?
Is there anything, any examples of habits that you have created like that?
Well, I almost have to think about it a little bit. I can't tell you this, you know, anything that I wanted to achieve in my life, the things that I achieved, I worked towards every day. You know, the things that I thought would be great but never really put in my schedule or put on my task list, they never happened. And you know, quite honestly, I can't even think about what they were today. But, you know, if you actively work towards something or if you know there's a problem, I'll continue to try to think of something specific. Actually, I might have a really good one, and that's just the first thing that popped to mind, but I've always avoided working on salesmanship, and the reason why is because I didn't want to convince people to go with me or do what I feel they should do. I simply wanted to provide the best solution, all the reasons why they should do it, and have them make up their mind on their own. But you know, the truth is, you know, sales is a very important aspect. And when I saw that, you know, many people were going with inferior choices, and I couldn't make sense of it. I was like, how in the world could they go with this? You know, I'd find out that they went with, you know, a certain provider or they went a certain direction that, to me, it made no sense. And I knew it was going to fail from the start. And, you know, sure enough, it would. And, you know, half the time they'd come back, want to do it the right way, the other half they just give up. But when I really identified the problem and decided I'm going to overcome this, I'm actually hurting people by not being a better salesperson, that's when everything began to change. And the way that I first started was I looked for the right answers. I went online, I looked at all kinds of different sales material. And I knew what I wanted. I wanted something that was fundamental. I didn't want, you know, a bunch of fancy words or specific ways of doing things, but, you know, really know exactly what closes a sale, what makes people comfortable. And then as soon as I found the book, I listened to it twice. It was an audio book for me. And it totally changed everything. And, you know, the cool thing, when you start overcoming an obstacle, something that, you know, you recognize something's a problem in your life, and you decide, I'm going to do something about it. I've had enough of it. I'm not going to continue my whole life and let this be a stumbling block. Once you find out what you need to know, you get excited about it and you start to use it, and then you start seeing the results, all of a sudden, you're no longer depressed about your obstacle. You're actually excited
mm-hmm.
about it. It's like this thing that used to always stop you is now like a step. You're stepping on it and overcoming it and getting higher and higher. And, you know, since then, like on the sales side, I've listened to a few other things. And, I mean, it's not that I'm a fanatic about sales now. It's just I've got the confidence that, you know, if someone has a desire to use what I've got, I know that I can close them. And you know, that confidence also brings a sense of joy and, you know, other personal benefits that I'd never have. And, you know, it all started with, you know, knowing that I had an obstacle, pursuing the information, starting to apply information, and all of a sudden, it's exciting. You know, when I see that obstacle, it's like a challenge that I'm excited about because I know I can overcome, and, you know, everybody loves to achieve. So I guess that's probably the thing I'd point to.
So right there, I think, is a really important thing to note. I know, okay, I'll just tell you about me personally. Something that I tend to do a lot is, you know, I look at somebody like Jonathan or Sam Hostetler or, you know, Max or somebody like that. You know, I'm down here, I'm making $150,000 a year. And I see this problem, I'm like, I'm going to overcome this problem. You know, right away, I just stick my head in the clouds, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to make $2 million this year, you know. Well, and then I go out there, and I beat the bushes for 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm not going to make $2 million this year. And then I get discouraged. And I think that's, you know, that's a lot of, that's a very human thing. So I think the important thing, something that I've really learned, is recognize what are the small steps that are necessary to get me to the $2 million mark or get me to the $20 million mark, because I can't get there from $150,000. And so, you know, that's something like, you know, knowing that making a certain kind of phone call every single day, or making, you know, a door-to-door cold call every single day or something like that will get me slowly from $150,000, you know, to $2 million. And so that's something that I've been doing more. It's just, you know, trying to recognize what is the small step necessary and then focusing, really focusing on that, knowing that if I do enough of the small steps, it'll get me to the big step.
Right. Does anybody else want to share maybe something that they overcame?
Hey, Jonathan, this is Sam. I'm on now.
Awesome. Hey, Sam.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Some great stuff that was being shared there. I believe that was Isaac. Was that? Am I right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Isaac, that what you were sharing there is some awesome stuff. And you're absolutely right. With the mindset that we have to make $150,000 is not going to be the same mindset to make $2 million. You know, we've got to change something. And here's the exciting news. I just got off the phone with two very, very, very successful roofers and contractors in our team that are going to be sharing some of these principles, how to get to that next level of whatever your goal is on Friday evening in our 2.5-hour seminar that we're going to have in Branson, Missouri. So, ties in right with what we're talking about here, Jonathan.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned the mind frame. For some reason, I got a really bad echo. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
hold
I'll
on,
mute
hold
that
on.
Line.
Is that better?
There you go.
I was on speakerphone. I'm sorry, guys.
Go ahead,
Isaac.
Let's
still have that.
Oh, maybe I actually muted Isaac. Can you speak here? There you go. Isaac, can you talk now?
Yep. Yeah, you muted me.
All right. I'm sorry.
So,
I don't have names associated with the numbers.
I was going to touch on a point that Sam mentioned about the mind frame. That's really, really something very important to think about, is the mind frame that you currently have and the mind frame, you know, that you're going to need. You know, just for instance, me personally, I grew up, you know, relatively poor, relative to third world, extremely wealthy. Relative to what we're talking about, poor. And part of the reason was because my dad inherited a lot of money, and so we as a family never had to really be efficient and never really had to have a business type of mind frame of making money. And so that has really been a challenge for me. It's really hard for me to take somebody else's money. I think I don't deserve their money. You know, mentally I have this block that makes me want to work for people for free. That just doesn't work. You can't run a business that way. So that's something that I really have recognized that I have to overcome, is, you know, how it's fair for me to work for another man for, you know, a very good profit, and that it's okay and fair. And so that's something that all of us have to recognize, you know, those different mind frames that we have because of the way we grew up or the way our father taught us or the culture that we were in. Some of those mind frames are going to be directly against being very profitable in business. And so they'll have to be changed.
So what you're talking about there, Isaac, is the paradigms that we grew up with is sometimes a hindrance of why we can't go to the next level. And those paradigms have to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and it can be a very real, you know, I can't just change my mind in 5 minutes because it's very real to me, you know, that, you know, there are poor people in the world. There's people that have been taken advantage, and there's people that have, you know, there's crooked people. You know, my dad taught us for 22 years that to make a lot of money, you got to be a crook. You know, and so it's very difficult for me to overcome that, but to know that you don't have to be a crook to make a lot of money. You can actually be a very honest, sincere, and a good man and be very profitable, and it's okay. But in my mind, you know, 22 years of mental mind framing is big money equals crooked. You know, so that's really hard to overcome.
And you said a very, very interesting point, talking about the mind, that we can't change in 5 minutes. And that is so important to recognize that. And I believe you hit it on earlier, that if you write it down and here's your goal and you start focusing on that, what happens is as you think about it, it starts becoming reality in your life, you know. Let's say you want to lose weight or something. It's not so much that you want to lose weight. That's not going to help you lose weight. But when you focus on going out there and doing that exercise every day, and you're out there running for the next 30 days, and that's really every morning you get up and you put that effort to it, that you're thinking about it, and you do it, you start achieving what you're thinking about. You know.
Yep. And lo and behold, 30 days later, when you stand on the scale, like, oh, what happened? I just lost 10 pounds.
Yep.
How'd that happen?
That's exactly right. And Isaac, that is exactly what happens when a man changes his mindset. His goal is set to make $1 million. What happens? He thinks about it, and he thinks about it. And what happens? There's an amazing thing that happens in a man's mind when he starts thinking that way. We're gifted with an imagination. And what happens is we start that imagination starts kicking in high gear, and it starts looking around, how are we going to get to $1 million? And pretty soon, you start thinking, oh, I could do this, I could do this, and you start putting action to it. You will get to that goal. You will get to that goal.
Yep.
And that's that's why I'm so excited about what's going to be shared on Friday noon at 2.5 hours. For 1 hour, we're going to have some very successful contractors that understand some of these principles that are going to be sharing to our team. And it's going to be worth every penny you've paid to be 1 hour with these guys.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's what I would want everyone to take away from this call tonight. Fears, doubts, and mental blocks are not they're not going to kill you. If you've got fears and doubts and mental problems,
mm-hmm.
you recognize that they're getting in your way, call somebody up or sit down with somebody and talk to them and say, look, I've got this problem. Here's what happens when I do this. You know, you don't even have to be determined to find a solution. Just talk about it. Talk with Sam. Talk with Jonathan. Talk with Max about this mental thing that you're struggling with. And I guarantee that you will find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But if the natural thing to do is when you're faced with a fear or a doubt or a problem is to get... Anyhow, with me, like, I can get so zeroed in on the fear and the doubt that I just freeze. And basically, you know, mentally, I go into the fetal position. I'm like, you know, start calling myself an idiot and you're a loser. You're never going to make it. You know, forget it. Sam thinks you're dumb. Jonathan thinks you're never going to make it. You know, that kind of stuff starts going on in my mind. And
when
I just call Jonathan and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm facing. You know, what do I do? And then, you know, it's no problem. He doesn't, hey, you know what, I survived the phone call. He doesn't shoot me. It's amazing. It's
mm-hmm.
really amazing. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And Isaac, I can assure you that I've felt and gone through everything that you're just describing.
Uh-huh.
I can assure you that I have. And that's something that I call a care barrier that we have to break through on the other side. But I love it. I love where this conversation has been going, Jonathan.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's my real goal in doing the call this evening was that I didn't really know where it would go tonight, but I really want to, here's the thing. All of us got a tremendous potential inside of us. You were created with a tremendous amount of potential. I'm not going to be a Sam Hostetler, I'm not going to be a Jonathan, whatever. But even so, I've got a great potential inside of me. Every single person that's on the call tonight has a tremendous potential inside of you. The truth is that if we work together and we talk about our obstacles, we can really get somewhere. And that's really what I wanted to start tonight is get it into people's minds that, hey, if I got a problem, then, you know, that pertains to Choice Roof Contractor Group. Choice Roof Contractor Group got the solution. Just make a phone call.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I'd like to share, and I love quotes because usually a quote, or at least a good quote, will have a lot of truth with very few words said. And since fear is one of the biggest mental obstacles, I'd really like to share this one. And I read it towards the end of last year, and it's one of my new favorite quotes. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And I think that's true for just about all of us.
Absolutely true.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yes.
Hey, this is Daryl hailing in from Arden, North Carolina.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, with
really
sorry for coming in a little late. Just got off the phone with a gentleman, got a job to go look at it in the morning. The gentleman said he's tired of patching, so just step outside yourself, because like I said again, you know what I'm saying, only fear is, you know what I'm saying, don't be afraid anymore. Just step outside yourself and do it, and you're going to get no's, but eventually somebody going to say yes.
That's right.
Yep. And here's the other thing. Go ahead.
I said, if you don't try, then you know you're not going to get anywhere. So just step outside yourself and do it.
Yep. Here's the mistake that I make a lot. If somebody says no to me, I take it personally. See, I'm an idiot. He said no. Or, you know, if my quote gets denied, see, I'm no good at selling. They didn't want me. You know, I take it personally. That's, you know, I know, even though knowing it's completely wrong, I still do it. I haven't totally overcome that. But that is just not true. You are not a bad person just because someone didn't take your quote. You know, just because you made 10 cold calls and nobody wanted to set an appointment with you, you're still a good person. I think that, I know that's a major thing to me. I take no's personally, and I know that that's one thing that I'm going to have to overcome. You know, when it's all said and done, if I'm all by myself on a bleak sand island and nobody else is around, what's left is still a good person. So I think that's a very important thing to recognize.
I agree completely. Well, if there's any final thoughts, feel free to share them. Otherwise, we'll conclude this call. We try not to go over 30 minutes too much. So is there anything else someone else would like to share?
Good.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. We'll let you go. Have a wonderful evening, and we hope to see most of you in convention in a couple days.